Welcome to the Free to Lead podcast, journeys of leaders, driven by passion, inspired by purpose. My name is Will Steele. I'm the host of the show. I'm a transformational business and leadership coach. I say transform the business owner, you transform the business. So if you want to be the fullest version of yourself in the world, decisive, taking clear action, moving forward, producing the kind of results and having the kind of impact you really want to have in your business, in your life, and in the world, then stay tuned. The people on this show that we interview are handpicked. They've got pearls of wisdom. They're going to share their breakdowns, breakthroughs, their challenges, what they've dealt with, how they've grown, and how they've become free to lead. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, I'd love to hear from you, and I'll be telling you how you can get in contact in about 20 minutes' time. Right now, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to today's episode of Free to Lead, Journeys of Leaders, driven by passion, inspired by purpose. And today we have a very special guest who definitely fits the criteria, very passionate, visionary leader, Austin Davis. He runs Health and Addiction Treatment Center Enterprise for Teenagers, and his stories are very inspirational and heart-rending, and the work he does is just really awesome. As a parent myself of teenage boys, I can really resonate with the work he's doing and really appreciate it. Austin, welcome to Free to Lead.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great.
And then for the kind introduction.
Yeah, if you could just tell people where you're based, what you do, and a little bit of your backstory, how you became the leader of this kind of entity, which is really powerful, and I'll let you share what it is that you do.
Yeah, we're based in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas, U.S. We work with teenagers 13 to 17 years old who have mental health or substance use issues. And so kind of have this continuum of care, starts anywhere from we'll start at the bottom, like just talk therapy, all the way up to inpatient treatment and detox and stabilization. So a myriad of engagements in that level. And man, really, I grew up 25 years ago. I was in grad school. I was getting a master's in divinity and working with kids in the local church. And when something happens in the family, we weren't exegeting things out of Romans. I was sitting in across from a kid talking to them, going, hey, what's going on at home? What's happening? So I got my master's. I transferred that degree, got a master's in counseling, which kind of led to psych hospitals and case management and public mental health, and found myself working in a adult treatment facility a little over a decade ago. And we've got 30, 40, 50 year old guys in the treatment center, and we're processing in group. And John says over here, starts telling a story. And then I'm like, hey, when did that happen? And he's all, when I was 12. And then Mike jumps in and says, oh, that happened to me when I was 14. And then Jeremy over there says, oh, that was me at 16. So it was like all of these grown men are processing childhood wounds 20, 30 years later with me. And so I have this entrepreneurial seizure, if you will, and said, I've got this youth pastor calling and this clinical experience. Why can't we smash them together and create a place that would help this person in the relative time frame of the incident? Real fast story.
No, that's really great. And so how did you start? How did you get teenagers to even talk to you?
How do you start the clinical process, or how did I start the business?
The business, really. Yeah.
Yeah. So it started with me coming home from work one day in that adult treatment facility and looking at my wife, who was 8 months pregnant with our third kiddo. We were going to have three under three. And I said, hey, babe, I think it's time for me to quit. And she goes, yeah, I've been praying about that too. I've been thinking about that too. And it feels like the right time. So we literally jumped out of the plane without a parachute, didn't have a business plan or an investor or anything lined up. We just knew that's what we were supposed to do. So I just worked feverishly on that, ended up finding some property. And the owner of that property became a partner. And so it was just building it all from the ground up. And so we sold everything that was a tangible asset. And this was in 2016, and just started from scratch. We started with eight beds, and now we have 80 beds to facilitate kids, and then two outpatient centers. So anywhere between 100 and 125 kids at a time, we can help service. We started really small and just little by little grew into it.
Great. And how do you get them to come to you? How do they find out about you? How does that happen?
Yeah, I've got boots on the ground marketing business development folks who are working across the nation doing conferences, doctors, attorneys, pediatricians, anybody who's working with a teenager, we're going to try to stay in front of. And then we have a huge digital presence. Just trying to be on the podcast today is helping spread the word.
Great. All right, great. And then I coach business owners, entrepreneurs mainly. I can coach anyone, given the training and the programs I've led. And as we discussed before the show, really love to support you in anything you want support with. So any challenges you're up against or any kind of sort of blockages moving into the next phase or the next level or the next area of expansion, if you look at what you're dealing with, what's something you'd love to get some help with right now?
I think, Ben, I live in this sort of paradox or dualism of I'm a business owner, but I'm also a therapist. And that therapist is very OCD and likes things to be perfect. And the business owner wants to drive profit. And so sometimes I have to push one to get the other. It's sometimes you can't have both, right? You can't have a really boutique restaurant that is scalable. I have a friend who's a restaurateur who's a Michelin restaurant guy, and that's not scalable. You do your one thing. It's very small margins, but if you want Chipotle on every corner or something like that's very scalable.
Yeah.
So yeah, just trying to play. And I think learning just from a small business, 8 beds, owner operator in the day-to-day, the question I always ask myself is how do I stop doing things that I used to always do? Taking out the trash, whatever.
Yeah. Doing all the stuff. Yeah. So very good. So how does it occur for you? You see the trash there and you've got presumably people employed to do that sort of thing. And then you do it. What goes on for you in that moment?
I'm just a natural activator and doer. And so it's almost a compulsion. I just go do it. I was in a finance meeting yesterday and our CFO assigned my business analyst to go research some credit cards and some things. I'm like, this morning I found myself doing it. And I know he's going to give it to me in the next 3 days, but I'm just taking up time and space to do that. So it's just those little areas of self-control, maybe.
Is it they don't trust him to do it, or is it it's quicker to do it myself? What is the internal?
I think it's both. I think that's both and, right? That's always the rationale for me. Oh, I'll just do it. I'll just get it done. And he doesn't understand what the intent. I was looking at a new credit card for some other things. And so I was like, he's not going to understand the travel. He's not going to understand the points. He's not going to understand what I want for it. Those are the questions I was saying to myself as I was comparing Amex versus Capital One or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. And do you have the thought, I need to communicate that with him? Or?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I should just let it go and see what he comes back with and then give my feedback then, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, people can give you tips like that all the time, and you can read books that tell you to do that. There is a great book. It's called Buy Back Your Time.
Yep.
Great book. Principles are fantastic. Dan Martell. And I use some of those. But getting my clients to actually do it, you've got to go through something. So when you ask somebody to do something for you, or they do it and they don't do it, they'll never do it like you. You know that, right?
Yes.
They'll never do it exactly the same as you would do it. But if you're going to grow your business, you have to let people do stuff. And if they can do it 80% as good as you, that's a win. They're not going to do it. So there's something about letting go to allow that. So if they can do it 80% as good as you, good. They can do it.
Yep.
Now, when I say that, what goes on for you? You may agree with it, but
yeah, I know the number. I've read the leadership books and things like that.
Yeah.
So I know the number. 80% is good enough. But like I said, I called it the compulsion earlier, and I think that's just it. It's just compulsion, lack of trust. So I've got a new COO right now. Same kind of thing. It's like I'm just every single day I gear myself up to how do I empower, trust but verify? Like kind of like how do I do that?
I've just written a book called Free to Lead, Become the Authentic, Powerful Leader You Were Born to Be. I was going to call it Go Back to Move Forward. So when you're not able to move forward in this area, trusting people, giving it away, we've got to go back. I can't trust people, let's say, something in the area of trust. And then you look back into your past. So did you trust somebody and they let you down? Or so when I say that, does anything pop into your mind from your childhood maybe or growing up where you trusted someone and they didn't?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a therapist. At 10, parents divorced, and then I spent a lot of time with my grandfather. He died at 67. My brother passed away. I was 21. He was 18. And then there's a kind of blackout period where I didn't speak to my dad for 10 years. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of areas in there that...
Well, which was first in those things? Was it the divorce?
Yeah, it was chronological, the way I gave. Yeah.
All right, great. So if you think back to the moment it landed for you that your parents were getting divorced, where were you?
I was sitting on the front porch on a wooden swing. And my dad sat me down and said, "Hey, I'm not going to be here anymore. You have to be the man of the house," at 10 years old. And so that yoke or burden was placed on me.
Wait. So before you go, so there you are sitting on the thing. Dad sits there. Was anybody else there or just you and your dad?
I think it was just me and him.
And he said, "I'm not going to be here. You've got to be the man of the house." Anything else he said or you said or asked or thought?
Don't really. That was just the picture I have in my head. Yeah.
And when he said that, what was it you thought to yourself? Did you understand what that meant? Did you?
No, really didn't. And I think it took the profession I'm in and 25, 30 years later for that to sink in, right? As I start working with a young man and working through their journeys as well.
When he said that, he said, "You're going to have to be the man. I'm not going to be around anymore." What decisions did you make right there? What did you say to yourself about that right there in that moment or just after?
I don't know. I was 10, right? So I mean, it was all I did was play baseball and run around outside. It was just like I was a 10-year-old. So it wasn't a whole lot. I think later on in life is I learned this sort of self-protection. If I need something or want something, I gotta go do it myself. If I need to mow the yard, like all the way up to programming and coding and financing and whatever else, it's like this internal self-reliance for sure.
It's a decision. If I want something, right, I got to go do it myself.
Yep.
See, that becomes the truth. You have a thought, believe it. So that's now like a truth.
Yep.
So if you look at what a belief is, some thought you had that you decided was true. So is it true if you want something, you have to do it yourself?
No.
It's not the truth, right? But correct. It's been your truth. See, what's the impact of... See, that controls you. It's in the background. It's like just the way it is. What's the impact been of, if I want something, I've got to do it myself. Or I've got to get it myself.
Huge, right? Everything from a cup of coffee to this credit card situation or scale in the company, or I'm only one person.
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge. And what does it cost you? What do you miss out on? What do you not get to experience?
Probably an infinite number of things.
Okay. We'll take a look.
Yeah, because I don't know, right? Because I don't know. I'm taking out the trash. What did I miss?
Yeah, what did you miss out on? You're doing all those things versus working on growing the business, employing new people, allowing people to contribute. If you let it sink in, if I want something, I've got to go do it myself. A 10-year-old decided your life. So it puts you in a like a constraint of what's available to you. You could say it's like a box or a prison cell, right? But of being, right? Being is infinite. There's all different ways of being and acting available to us. But once we make a decision like that, if I want something, I've got to go do it myself, we're now limited. We've limited ourselves in that construct. See, if we stand in, that's not actually the truth. What becomes available?
Yeah.
How could you be in life?
Say it again. What was the question? Yeah.
If that wasn't the truth in
Yeah.
constraining you, how could you be in life?
Yeah, it's just the opposite is true, right? I can get things by asking for help.
You could share the load. You could ask people to support you. One possible thing practice you could take on. So once you understand this thing and you see it, the job, we're not working together, but the job would then be to start noticing it every time it shows up and interrupting it. See, it's not going to go away just like that. Been there since you're 10. You've been this way, right? So what you have to do is keep noticing it. And when you notice it, I have to do it myself thing. And now I need to practice. When I notice it, what do? I go, stop. There's whatever you want to create, right? But a suggestion would be starting to wait. Do I really need to do this myself? Can someone else do this? All right, great. Hey, Tom or whatever, this person, I need this doing. Can you do this? Or who could do this? Like you have to find somebody else to do it. If you practice that every day, get it up in front of you, keep noticing when it shows up, at some point it just kinds to fold away. You still got to be responsible for it for the rest of your life. It's a thought, it's an ingrained thought pattern. To interrupt it takes a conscious effort to do that. So what are some actions you can see you could take right now to break that automatic way that you've been functioning, if you like?
Probably half of my to-do list right now could be assigned to other people.
Awesome. Awesome. Great. So then you have to sit down with your team and go, okay, this is my to-do list. Who can do this? Who can do this? Who can do this? Right. Now I got to make sure you get me what I need. So you don't need to be irresponsible. It's not like abdicating responsibility. You're still the man in charge. You're still the leader. You still got to be responsible, accountable for everything. So how do you do that? You lay out the parameters and ask them if they've got any questions and make sure they are clear about what you're asking. So you have to develop these new practices to have it become just the way you are. Do you find that useful?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, great. Great. Let me know how you get on. You can always message me and see how it's opening up for you.
I
Because I think
will.
what you're doing is wonderful. And I just want your whole enterprise to be super successful, go right across certainly America, right? And help all these teenagers who don't have anyone to talk to and they know where to go to and they end up on drugs and, screwed. It's just millions and millions of them.
Yes.
Yeah. How do people reach out to you, find out about you, get help from you, or just inquire into how they could help you?
Yeah, clearforkacademy.com is our website. All of our information's on there. Top right-hand corner is our line to our admissions intake. So they'll do a 30-minute free assessment. You think you're there, you're not there. They'll help you figure it out.
Brilliant. Awesome. It's been great having you on the show, Austin, and I just wish you all the best of luck and stay in touch if you need anything. I'm here.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Will Steele here. Thanks so much for listening to the Free to Lead podcast, Journeys of Leaders, driven by passion, inspired by purpose. If you're a successful leader and you're driven by passion and you're inspired by your purpose and you'd love to be a guest on the show, we'd love to have you. Just visit podcast.willsteele.com. That's podcast.willsteele.com. Will Steele is spelled W-I-L-L-S-T-E-E-L, all one word. If you got something out of today's interview and you'd love to share it on your social media, we'd love you to do that. You can take a screenshot on your phone, you can text it to a friend or post it on your socials. And if you know someone you think they'd be a great guest, tag them on social media or just let them know about the show and include the hashtag Free to Lead. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We're regularly putting out new episodes and content. And to make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, and your comments go a long way to help promote the show. And that means a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, go to our website, willsteele.com, or follow me on LinkedIn under Will Steele, or Facebook under Will Steele, or Instagram under Will Steele Coaching. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.